I struggle each day to understand what is happening. The only certainty is that the world has gone quite mad. Antoinette and I were always rather reclusive, but the events of the last few months have made the reclusiveness almost complete. I can't bear to go out because the people in masks fill me with a sense of deep and painful despair. Everyone in a mask is a sign of impending slavery. I find it difficult to understand why anyone with more than two brain cells to rub together could possibly take this contrived lunacy seriously. Everything is false and unpleasant, hostile and unwelcoming. There's a strange madness abroad in the country, with tens of millions now firmly believing in the threat from COVID-19, despite the fact that the evidence proves without question that they're wrong. The global prize for scaring its citizens most and providing the most misinformation goes to the UK, where the government and the BBC have successfully terrified the population. Only one third of Britons have currently gone back to work in the UK, with the remainder working at home or sitting on Bournemouth Beach. This compares poorly with the rest of Europe, where on average two thirds of workers have gone back to their offices. Most startling of all, a recent survey showed that the average Briton believes that 7% of the British population has died of COVID-19. That would mean a death total of 4.2 million in the UK alone. The real figure, of course, is probably much less than 1% of that. It's not surprising that people are bewildered and wrong. The Spectator, a British magazine, recently published an article reporting that around the world, millions had died of the coronavirus. I tried to persuade them to print a correction, but the silence was deafening. In America, Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential candidate, recently announced that over 120 million Americans had been killed by COVID-19. He corrected himself afterwards, but still the thought was there, 120 million. At the pavement level, it's nothing more nor less than hysteria. At higher levels, I'm painfully conscious that there are dark clouds of evil hanging over us all. Manipulative crooks play with our lives with a scandalous respect, lack of respect for the truth, for our honour, or for our dignity. Children are more likely to be hit by lightning or to be neglected to death than to die of COVID-19, but there's still talk of keeping schools closed. There's even been talk of closing shops and hostelries so that schools can stay open, or rather can open. If there's a shred of sense in that, I can't find it. You might as well say that schools won't open unless everyone stands on one leg and sings Auld Lang Syne all day. Mind you, parents who are brave enough to send their children to school should think about saying goodbye to them every morning because they may never see them again. The authorities have given themselves the right to test children with a test which is about as reliable as Bill Gates, and if the test is positive, they can snatch the child and run off with them. It used to be called kidnapping, but these days it's called public health. They'll ask the child if they've ever coughed, and the child will probably say, yes, I coughed last November, and then the poor kid will be labelled as having COVID-19 and whisked off to hospital, wherein they'll doubtless pick up one of those nasty special bugs that hospitals specialise in breeding. The parents won't be allowed to see their child alive, and they won't be able to see them if they die. You think I'm exaggerating? Remember what happened in care homes. These are strange times. If the politicians told us to paint our faces blue and carry a bucket of toads with us, there are millions who would do so with enthusiasm. It's a mercy that the loonies at the World Health Organization are unfamiliar with Macbeth. Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. Fillet of a fenny snake in the cauldron boil and bake, eye of newt and toe of frog, squirt of sanitizer and tongue of dog, adder's fork and blindworm sting, facial mask, strong plastic gloves, 6 feet apart and test and trace, scale of dragon, tooth of wolf. Add thereto a Gatesian vaccine to the ingredients of our cauldron. It's said that COVID-19 can now have medium to long-term effects on some patients. That, of course, is just the same as the flu, which can cause depression and tiredness for months afterwards. Viruses do things like that. They are threatening, I kid you not, to knock down care homes and private houses if any residents had the coronavirus while dwelling therein. In theory, this is to stop a second wave. Politicians aren't interested in the fact that in many areas there haven't been any deaths for ages. This demolition nonsense fits neatly with the United Nations Agenda 21 plan to get rid of all private property and to move us into smart cities. They didn't knock down houses after the plague hit Eme in Derbyshire. Indeed, the plague-ridden houses are still standing and occupied. Houses have never been knocked down because the occupants had tuberculosis or rabies or a virus no worse than the flu. I suspect they will not, however, be knocking down 10 Downing Street, where Johnson coughed and suffered, though perhaps they should. This reminds me that the European Union wanted to knock down Victorian homes in England because they didn't satisfy EU building requirements. I always assumed that by this they meant that Victorian building standards were so much higher than current EU requirements that modern builders were embarrassed to see 150-year-old houses still standing proud while EU-approved homes were falling apart after 6 months. The EU, never forget, has always been part of Agenda 21. In the UK, the Premier League, some sort of football competition, I believe, is looking at introducing app-based clinical passports for fans. We all know what that means. I hope fans won't let themselves be suckered in. Let the football clubs go bust. It'll do them good. No footballer deserves to be paid more than 12 quid a week. If £12 a week was good enough for Stanley Matthews, it should be good enough for anyone. The politicians and the vaccine-soaked scientists are still terrorising the public by warning them that the number of cases is still high. What a surprise! You test more people and you find more cases. What a shock that must have been. But most of the people identified are asymptomatic and as fit as fleas. Fitter than fleas were when they were carrying the Black Death. And of course, the tests they're using are pretty useless. Governments and their advisers haven't got round to mentioning this. I mean, you won't read it in the mass media. But the chances of a test accurately detecting COVID-19 are notably less than 50%. In the UK, the Office for National Statistics admits that they don't know the true sensitivity and specificity of the test. The guess is that around 4 out of 5 people who actually have the virus will test positive. So 1 in 5 who have the disease will test negative. And some people who don't have the disease will be told that they do have it. In America, the tests seem to be even worse. The current US Centers for Disease Control test kits can produce up to 30% false positives. Some cheaper tests being used are probably ludicrously inaccurate. What all this means in practice is that COVID-19 is probably never going to disappear, because as long as tests are done, there'll be false positives, and politicians will respond by ordering completely unnecessary lockdowns, even though no one has the disease. Those predictions that we're going to have to live with COVID-19 for years to come are accurate. But there may not be any COVID-19, just a lot of positive tests. And, of course, spurious justification for vaccinating 7 billion people entirely unnecessarily. In an attempt to be of assistance, I've devised a valuable new alternative test for COVID-19, which could be far cheaper and possibly less confusing than the tests currently being used by governments everywhere. My test can be done at home and at no cost whatsoever. All you need is a coin. You toss the coin into the air, catch it and examine it. If it's heads, then you've got the disease. If it's tails, then you haven't. I shall offer my test to the World Health Organization as an alternative to the ones in use. Since my test will probably show that 50% of all those tested have the disease, I suspect that governments everywhere will be thrilled. The test has to be worth at least £1 million, but I'll offer it free as an item of public service. Unlike the BBC and the Guardian newspaper, I don't want any money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Meanwhile, the fraud thrives and the lunacy continues. People who would never dreamt of wearing a mask last year to protect them from the flu now wear their masks with enthusiasm to protect them from COVID-19, an infection no worse than the flu. No one's ever suggested that we wore masks to protect us from tuberculosis, a far more significant disease. And yet in America, there's serious talk of people being told to wear their masks in their own homes. It's madness. Mask wearers are breathing in toxin-filled air rich in carbon dioxide. It's no surprise that the incidence of lung infections is rising. The only logical conclusion is that mask wearing is part of the Agenda 21 plan for a reduced population. How many will die as a result of the mask wearing fetish? 1,000? 10,000? 100,000? Your guess is as good as anyone's. There have already been mask-related deaths, and there will be more. The lunacy is global, the same daft rules being introduced everywhere on Earth. And people are waking up, of course. There have been demonstrations in England, America, Australia and Germany. Not that you'd know it if you confined yourself to the mainstream media. I didn't see much talk of demonstrations on the BBC website, nor did I see much about the various enterprises backed by Gates, the spraying of dust to block out the sun, or the experiment with genetically modified mosquitoes, which went so badly wrong. If there were a prize for fake news, deceit, and misguiding the public, then in my view, the BBC would win all the prizes. Still, what do you expect? This is the organisation which did a deal with the UK government, agreed to provide free TV licences for the over 75s, and then reneged on the agreement, and is now reputed to be spending £38 million on chasing pensioners with the intention of sending those who don't pay to prison. This is the broadcaster which has ignored its responsibilities for decades, bent as a paperclip. Don't do anything illegal, of course, but please don't give the BBC any of your money. Avoiding the licence fee isn't difficult. And don't buy DVDs, CDs or books published by the BBC. Tell your MP you want the BBC defunded. If the BBC has to stand alone without money from unwilling viewers, it will soon disappear. And good riddance. Despite the evidence, governments, local councils, quangos and officials of all kinds are still doing their very best to irritate and to make life difficult for everyone, but particularly for those who are still daring to refuse to accept the lies being told about the coronavirus, COVID-19, masks, vaccines, cash, and Uncle Tom Cobbley's refusal to maintain social distancing when consorting with his mates in the pub. But we're at war with them, so I suppose that's what we must expect. They're lying and suppressing the truth every time they see it. It's like the whack-a-mole game. If they see the truth pop up, then they smash it down with a big hammer. The truth, as we must constantly remember, is the first casualty of war. Distractions are everywhere as the mainstream media put effort into their attempts to make us forget the stupidity of what is happening. Many of the distractions are just plain silly. Campaigners eager to distract us from Agenda 21, the only game in town for those who care about the future, and laughably out of touch with reality, are now demanding that we get rid of phrases such as Achilles' heel and Adam's apple. These medical terms are allegedly misogynistic and therefore offensive and unacceptable. I really don't understand people who have so little going on in their lives that they can afford to be upset by such an amazing load of balls. Come to think of it, I don't suppose I'll be allowed to say that either. If I do, then this channel will doubtless go tits up. The world is crumbling and these cretins are fiddling. Meanwhile, the cruelty, the sadness and the despair are everywhere. I spoke to a shop assistant who was terribly upset because her employer forced her to wear a mask. I could hardly hear a word she was saying, and she complained that she couldn't breathe properly. She'd clearly been crying. She wasn't in a trade union, and I don't expect anyone else would help her. What a damn stupid world we are living in. My only advice was that she should ask to wear a visor rather than the mask. Visors are probably as useless as masks, but they're unlikely to produce the same level of hypoxia. Incidentally, if you look at a box containing masks, you'll probably see a warning that the masks won't stop viruses getting through. They should print that warning on every mask. They print health warnings on cigarette packets. Each mask could have a warning saying, "This mask is entirely useless for the purpose for which it is worn. The wearer is a moron." It occurs to me in passing that if a shop tries to force you to wear a mask and you have no alternative but to go there to buy essentials, then you could take down all the details of the person telling you to put on a mask and write down the date and the time, then point out politely that you're taking notes in case you fall ill while you're in the shop and you subsequently need to take action against them. Get names and addresses. They'll say they're doing it because it's the law. But in the UK, for example, you don't have to wear a mask if it makes you anxious or upsets you physically. The shop people are lying and exceeding their authority if they say you must wear a mask. And the mainstream media is, of course, carefully promoting the government line and demonising those who refuse to wear masks as antisocial and not caring about others. This is wicked nonsense, but it will slowly have an effect on people and will eventually marginalise those who understand the truth and force them to the very edges of society before throwing them out altogether. Why aren't more doctors screaming out about the pointlessness and danger of forcing people to wear masks for many hours a day? Some, I know, have tried to speak out and been silenced or lost their jobs. There's no such thing as freedom of speech these days. A few brave doctors have succeeded in making their voices heard. I have tremendous admiration for two surgeons, Mr. Black and Mr. Narula, who reported that they'd stopped using surgical masks 20 years ago after a series of controlled trials showed that using masks either had no effect on or actually increased the risk of post-operative infection. They point out that it's difficult to see how insisting on a measure shown to be useless or worse will give the public confidence. I sincerely hope that neither of these brave surgeons feel the cold hand of the General Medical Council on their collars. But doctors speaking out are in a minority. They still aren't doing post-mortems, for heaven's sake, and some hospital departments are still closed. You can, I believe, have a tattoo, but in some areas you still can't get physiotherapy. If doctors really care about what's happening and the way patients are being murdered by governments, why don't 100 get together and write letters to all the newspapers? Or why don't they just announce that they'll resign on a particular date unless the nonsense stops? Why not just insist that their trade unions speak out against the lies being told? Why aren't more retired doctors speaking out? They know this is lunacy and they have nothing to lose. Don't they care? And are they all cryptorchid? If enough doctors had found the courage to ignore the orders they were given and to speak out in order to protect their patients and save lives, then this whole criminal enterprise would have been over weeks ago. I have nothing but contempt for the doctors and nurses who are still keeping silent throughout all this. Every doctor knows that what we're seeing is a political conspiracy designed to force everyone to be vaccinated with a vaccine that hasn't been properly tested. Their cowardice has already led to millions of deaths worldwide, and things are getting worse by the day. One of the disappointments over the last few months has been the scarcity of celebrities showing good sense and questioning the coronavirus hoax, now better referred to as a crime or a fraud. One or two celebrities have said a little, but then quickly withdrawn their comments when they were held up to ridicule by mask-wearing zombies desperate to defend the UN's plans for world domination and eternal slavery. The only celebrity I know of who's had the courage to stick to his guns is Peter Ebdon, the former world snooker champion. He's proved to be a star and has resolutely maintained his position despite the inevitable sniping from small-minded morons. I have great respect. It isn't easy being a target for small-minded, quarter-witted poltroons. It would help enormously if you'd press the thumbs up button and if possible leave a small comment. We haven't monetized this channel and there are no advertisements and no sponsors and there never will be. Clicking the thumbs up button simply helps to keep the video and the channel visible so that as many people as possible can find them. Videos will be released on Sundays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. UK time. Thanks for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thanks for all your support and encouragement. Please copy and share the videos on Facebook, Twitter, BitChute and other platforms. Let's spread the truth. If you'd like to put on a translation, that'll be fine. If my videos disappear, please go to vernoncolman.com, where you can find transcripts, including transcripts of the banned videos. There are many other articles there too. The website has no ads and no sponsors. If you'd like to see more videos from me, then please subscribe to the channel, because videos aren't always easy to find. If you do visit mainstream media, please put on messages asking readers to watch these videos to find the truth. Although it may seem like it at times, please remember, you're not alone. You are definitely not alone. More and more people are waking up, and we will win this war. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.